We have a very special guest with us today on It's a New Day in our studio, Mike Levins, Kathy Barnett.
Hello.
I will go ahead and we'll tell you just in a moment all about our guests, and we've got some interesting things to say I think that you should hear. You could call in at 610-539-TALK, let your voice be heard this morning, or if you have a question for our guest, and our guest this morning is Pastor Peter Smith. Joining us today, he's senior pastor at Hope Valley Community Church in Red Hill, PA, a regional and eastern PA state prayer leader and a transformation practitioner, you describe yourself as. Founded Upper Perk Prayer Evangelism Network in the Upper Perk Yeoman Valley in 2004. His passion to bring transformation to all spheres of culture, including education, government, and the marketplace. And he joins us today. Pastor Peter, welcome to the program. Wonderful to have you this morning.
It's great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you as well. So tell us the background and history of what God has you doing today here in PA. Just kind of give us a foundation.
Sure. About 10 years ago, there were three of us pastors that we really wanted to see revival happen in our school district. And we began to meet together regularly just to pray on a weekly basis. And we began to see God change the spiritual climate and atmosphere in our churches and the school district where we are.
And this spurred you, this desire for revival,
yes,
spurred you to do this prayer group, essentially, this,
yes,
call for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
What is prayer evangelism? This is a term that you kind of use.
Yes, prayer evangelism is where we want to talk to God about people before we talk to people about God. So it's the idea that if we want to change people's hearts, it's better if we pray for them before we talk with them. So it creates a change in the spiritual atmosphere in somebody's life, in a church, in a community, in a region. So it's the idea of prayer evangelism is the idea of really taking things to God first before we share about God with people.
You know, and like that's one of the, that's very interesting that you would say that, in that because years ago I started saying, God, allow me to see people the way you see people.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw happening is this transformation, I'm going to use your word there, in my heart, more compassion for people, right? Because,
yes,
I began to see the brokenness and it's less judgmental. So I saw that as I began to ask God, allow me to see people the way you see people. I stopped my foremost mission of going out and just giving the truth and telling people about the truth and standing up for truth. It was kind of enveloped with more compassion,
yes,
for people. And all of a sudden I saw myself getting softer as I go out to talk to people.
Yeah, I think it's one of the ways that we pray is we ask for God to give us his heart. And when we get his heart, then we know what is on his heart and how to pray.
Now, you call yourself a transformation practitioner.
Yes.
Tell me about that. There's a movement along with this, too, called the Transformation Movement. Tell me about that as well.
Yeah, so transformation is really about wanting to see not just people's lives being saved, but seeing the whole culture being changed. So we have a weekly prayer group that meets at a restaurant in the Upper Perk School District, and we pray over all the areas of culture, over education, over the government, over the businesses, and we pray. We rotate through seven different themes every 7 weeks. We choose a book of the Bible, then we pray through a chapter every time that we meet in a book of the Bible. Right now, we just started the book of Esther. So we'll pray through. We just did Esther chapter 2, and it was the religion mountain. So we're praying over all the churches in the region and praying for God just to give us insight from the book of Esther and how to pray for our region.
Yeah, you know, help us get a level set of what prayer is. What does, mm-hmm, prayer do? Because I was talking to you during the break, and given, you know, what our Supreme Court did about 2 weeks ago in, mm-hmm, legalizing same-sex marriage. And then we have just so much other, here's my word, Michael, I'm going to throw it out, foolishness that's going on all around us. It's just complete chaos and mayhem.
Yes.
And those things that we, you know, those things that we know to be absolutes are being challenged. I mean, you don't even have to be black anymore in this country. I mean, it's, mm-hmm, just so much craziness is happening. And one of my first thoughts is, you know, what I saw myself doing was, God, well, what can I do? Who should I call? How should I vote? Like physically me getting up and doing things. And I began to get a check that, no, it actually starts with me being on my knees.
Yes.
And having God to see my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much what can I do? Because I think we're all, you know, especially in this conservative Christian sphere, looking at our culture, our first thought is, okay, what do I need to do? Like,
yes,
physically go out there and start trying to do something. Talk to us about the role of prayer.
Yes, I would say that the keys to transformation that we have seen is it's four steps in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 72 disciples, and they're to speak peace and blessing, number one. They are to fellowship, number two. They are to minister to felt needs, number three. And they're to proclaim the kingdom, number four. And so what we do is we do those four things, and we pray into those four things. So the first thing is to speak peace and blessing. So we can speak peace and blessing over the Jeffersonville region and pray for God to open doors for his kingdom to come in Jeffersonville and in this region where your radio station is. And God will begin to connect you with people that want to see that happen, or people that maybe don't even know Jesus, but God will use them as a business person or an educator to create an open door for his kingdom to come into the schools and into the businesses.
Now, how long have you been doing this for?
About 10 years.
And what transformation have you seen in your community?
Some examples. We started most pastors have the mindset, well, you can only have meetings in churches. And so we realized we need to get out of the church and get into the marketplace and get into the community. So we started, we had a monthly prayer meeting that was happening in churches, and we moved it out in the marketplace, and we said, we're not going to have this meeting anywhere in a church, only in the community. And so we started having meetings in conference centers of businesses and in the library and at the Chamber of Commerce and at the newspaper. And we would take 10 or 15 minutes and we would say to the owner of the newspaper, how can we be praying for you? What needs do you have? And begin to take time and just pray for a few minutes for the CEO of a company, for the library, for the Chamber of Commerce. And we've seen huge changes in the whole school district that we're in. We have a close partnership with the school district now. And we're doing after school programming, connecting with them, and many other things.
You know, I want to go back a little bit, if I can, to Luke chapter 10, because I think it's really, we have an opportunity to kind of educate on what is the role of prayer. And everything you said, and out of Luke chapter 10, I was taking notes. You said God instructs us to speak peace and blessings, to fellowship, to meet the needs of others,
mm-hmm.
and then speak truth.
Yes.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting that the first three out of the four is just us being out and about and giving away ourselves to other people
mm-hmm.
before you even come in with, okay, let me do something. Okay, let me teach you something. Okay, let me instruct you on something.
Right.
Before we get to that, because there's a place for speaking truth.
Yes.
But I thought it was interesting as you kind of gave us those four bullet points of what Jesus does is that it starts with just having a heart for people. And I think that starts with prayer.
Absolutely. And when you do the first three things, you don't have to force them to see the kingdom because they're seeing it with the first three things. So once the first three are happening, you just have to say, see, this is the kingdom of God. do you want that or not? And they're going to want it.
Amen. Yeah. You are really speaking truth to my life.
And you've been seeing the gospel perpetuated through using prayer evangelism, you've called it. And that's
yes.
what this whole topic is, prayer
yes.
evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have you seen? You've said that you have a relationship with your school district now. You're doing after-school programs. I'm guessing you're ministering the gospel in some way that way.
Yes, it's kind of it's a radical concept. We're seeing pastors that are involved in this that are actually getting promoted into the marketplace and out of their pastoral role. So one of the three original pastors in our group, the YMCA came to him and said, would you become the director of the Y? And he prayed about it. Their church prayed about it. They felt like this was a direct answer to the prayers of the prayer evangelism prayers we've been praying. And so now he's the director of the Y. They just built a brand new multi-million dollar building. And now his church, the Y, is way bigger than the church that he had before was. So he's impacting, you know, thousands of people as a director of the Y.
Wonderful. And you said the Y built this new, so he's basically director of a brand new YMCA, essentially.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, we have with us Pastor Peter Smith, who is a transformation practitioner, he would call himself, and we're talking about prayer evangelism. Is this the answer to our nation's problems? What do you think? Do you have a question for Pastor Peter? You could call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. We're going to head to a break, but we're going to continue the conversation because there's another very interesting, we're talking about how Scripture predicts economic issues, where we are going to talk about one of those with Pastor Peter in just a moment. So stay right there, and we're going to see how Scripture and how God's Word, how everything He has set up, can predict what is happening in our world, not to a T, but Jesus gave us signs to know I'm going to be coming soon.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The implications of last month's Supreme Court decision ordering all 50 states to redefine marriage to allow unions of same-sex couples continue to become more evident. A writer in Time magazine has called for all churches and religious organizations that hold that marriage is between a man and a woman to lose their tax-exempt status. That alone would put many Christian schools and colleges, as well as other ministries, out of business. Free speech could very well be curtailed. Religious liberty is under challenge, which is why we must continue to stand. I hope you'll join us as we continue to fight for life, family, and religious liberty.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your tax-deductible contributions to fund our pro-family work. Please consider a generous contribution today. You can donate online at pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
The Book of Jude shouts God's warning to America. Certain people will sneak into the church, pretend to believe in God, but like Satan, deny the power of God and the authority of Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, these religious but ungodly people will pursue egregious sexual immorality, defile the institution of marriage, detest moral authority, and fully corrupt themselves. Jude says these people, like clouds without rain, are ignorant and arrogant. In these times, Jude says to take heart, because the Lord Jesus himself will soon come with 10,000 angels and execute justice against all those who deny his authority. These mockers may sound bold, but they will fall before the justice of God. The command for us? Contend for the faith. Keep ourselves in the love of God and look for the mercy of God. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying with Jude, trust in God who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Welcome to the program. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. Mike Levins here along with Kathy Barnett and special guest Pastor Peter Smith. Thank you for joining us again. You can call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255 with a question for Pastor Peter. We're talking about a way, can we change our nation through prayer evangelism? And Pastor Peter calls himself a transformation practitioner because he believes that we can change our nation, the hearts and minds of our people, through prayer. And we were just talking about prayer evangelism and what the transformation movement is, basically being able to get into the culture, being able to pray and get more influence into the culture by, and you were drawing some points from Luke chapter 10 in order to illustrate that, Pastor Peter.
Yes, the four steps in Luke chapter 10 where Jesus sends out the 72 disciples. Number one, it's to speak peace and blessing. Number two, it's fellowship. Three, minister to the felt needs that the people have. And four, proclaim the kingdom of God.
So while we're keeping all this in mind as far as prayer evangelism, there's an interesting economic point. And there's a book called The Mystery of the Shemitah by Jonathan Kahn, and you've drawn some insight from this. Tell us about that.
Yes, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, it refers to what Rabbi Jonathan Kahn talks about, and the whole book is based on, is in Leviticus 25, starting in verse 8, it says, count off seven Sabbaths of years, seven times 7 years, so that the seventh Sabbaths of years amount to a period of 49 years. And so in that passage, it's highlighting the fact that not only did God create a Sabbath day, but God created a Sabbath year. Every seventh year was to be a Sabbath year. And so what Jonathan Kahn talks about in his book, The Mystery of the Shemitah, which is a follow-up book from the Harbinger book that he wrote, is that we're right now in a seventh year. We're in a Shemitah year right now, which will end on Sunday, September 13th. And that what God does is he wants, with Israel, he wanted them to not work the land for that last year. And there's also a canceling of debt and a resetting of debt. And what Jonathan talks about in his book is that if you study the cycles with the stock market, you'll see there's a 7-year pattern to the stock market crashes and the things that have happened. So the last one was 2008, and then we had 2001 before that. And so he's not predicting that the world is going to end this year, but that there could be a financial reset. There could be a financial reset to the stock market globally. And there are groups that believe that many nations may have their currency reset this fall because of how bad the economy is.
And this is drawing on the 7-year cycle,
yes,
of the Sabbath that is illustrated in Leviticus.
Yes.
In the Shemitah year being that seventh, yes, year. So an institution that God set up for the Israelites, mm-hmm, that seventh year where there would be rest for the land, mm-hmm, where also all things would be reset. We may actually see an economic reset this year. That would be very interesting to keep in mind as we see the events that unfold.
Yes. Yeah, so I had a chance to be in Israel in January, and last year God had me write out 14 threshing floor prayers, different themes. And when I was in Israel in January, he was reminding me of what he had me do last year, and he showed me he wanted me to redo those over the 14 weeks leading up to the end of the Shemitah year. So basically, these 14 prayers, decrees, he was showing me he wanted me to use those to help prepare the church for what's going to be coming. And so basically I'm using them as a devotional tool for 14 weeks, and we're in that 14-week window. So we're counting down. Today's day 68 till the end of the Shemitah year.
And can you tell us a little bit about what those 14 are? Do you have those available?
Yes. So they are 14 themes based off of the word threshing floor. So 14, the first one is threshing, second one harvest, the third one reaping, fourth one eternal judgment and eternal blessing. And right now we have just moved into the fifth week, which is a supernatural power, then hope, intimacy, new thing, glory generations, the Father's heart, love, overcomer, obedience, and the last one will be revelation.
And where can people find this? Do you have this on your blog?
Yes, it's on my blog. You can go to hopevalleychurch.org, hopevalleychurch.org, and you can look on the blog. I wanted to post something every day. It's a little bit hard to post something every day, but there's posts that are there, and there's also a reading guide through Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther over these 100 days that people can be doing.
This is really interesting. Again, this is 14 threshing floor decrees leading up to the end of the Shemitah. And the Shemitah, at the end of the Shemitah, and again, we're not trying to, you know, predict that anything's. And I mean, it's kind of like when I was on Wall Street, one of the things we would do is we would look at patterns.
Yes.
And patterns can tell you a lot about you. And we will always say that that the past is not indicative of what will occur in the future. But in the world of the financial markets, we always study the past because we don't have the future. We don't have a crystal ball. But you can look at past economic results or whatever the case may be and then begin to make some observations about what may occur in the future. And that is kind of like what this is, because we're not proclaiming to be Christ and we're not proclaiming to know the exact times of anything. What we are saying is that God has a sense of order about the way that he does things. And one of the things I like to be reminded of is that he said, I don't want to leave you ignorant about what is occurring. And one of the rules or one of the natural law observation that God has embedded in the world is this, is the Shemitah, every 7 years, a resetting. And we're saying that the reset is scheduled when?
For Sunday, September 13th.
September 13th of mm-hmm. this year.
Yes.
And so, and what God has laid on your heart are these 14 threshing floor decrees, what mm-hmm. you are reading or what you are teaching the church. And you can, again, they can go, our listeners can go where?
HopeValleyChurch.org. And the blog is there.
Awesome.
Yep.
Now, and this is all as well tied to a 100-day prayer watch countdown. How can people get involved in that? And what is it?
Yeah, one of the things, a lot of people are really asking, what can I really be doing right now? There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear in the church, and God wants us to walk in faith and not in fear. And so this is designed to help prepare the church spiritually just to be thinking about biblical themes of what the church should be doing. If there was some kind of a financial reset, the church should be focused on the harvest. The church should be focused on how we can share our faith. And so these are tools to help us to be able to share our faith and to be able to articulate different themes from the Bible to people, as well as just focusing on our own homes, our own churches, and praying for God just to prepare us that we would be positioned for the harvest.
Amen.
Now, you could go to HopeValleyChurch.org. You'll find Pastor Peter's blog there. You could also go to PrayUpperPerk.org, and that's their regional network website for this prayer evangelism movement, or transformourworld.org, which is the global website. So hopevalleychurch.org for the blog, prayupperperk.org for the prayer evangelism movement, or transformourworld.org, which is the global website. Peter Smith, Senior Pastor at Hope Valley Community Church, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been wonderful to have you. We are going to move on and talk about some headlines this morning. Of course, we have Greece, we have China, we have Hillary. What else do we have on the table? You stay right there.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Four people are shot with three dead in a shooting near the University of Maryland, Baltimore.
Baltimore police say it happened around 10:30 Tuesday night, a few blocks from UMB. Officers found a woman and two men with gunshot wounds. The fourth person, a woman, walked into a hospital and is stable. A statement on the school's website says two gunmen in vans pulled over near a group of people, got out, and fired shots.
Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers. Federal investigators are at the scene of a plane crash after a mid-air collision over South Carolina. Two people on board a small civilian plane died, A pilot on a training mission from Shaw Air Force Base ejected.
The decision to eject is a quick one, especially in a single-seat fighter like an F-16. But it looks like in this case, he made the appropriate decision based on the flyability of his aircraft.
Air Force Colonel Stephen Jost, the civilian Cessna, had just left the Berkeley County, South Carolina airport. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Our daily lives are a series of choices. Each day, we choose how we will spend our time, our treasure, and our talents. Rather than spending, wouldn't it be better to invest our time, talents, and resources?
These choices will never earn our way into heaven, but our day-to-day choices can have a significant and long-lasting impact on our lives, our families, our churches, and the advancement of His kingdom. I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. It is our company goal to serve others by using our gifts and talents every day to help you be a wise steward of God's provision.
If you need discernment with your retirement and inheritance planning, call MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999 on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The Liberty Bell got its name from being rung this day, July 8, 1776, to call the citizens of Philadelphia together to hear the Declaration of Independence read out loud for the first time. Made in England, this massive bell, weighing over 2,000 pounds, was rung on each successive anniversary until 1835, when it cracked on July 8th while tolling at the funeral for the famous Supreme Court Justice John Marshall. Inscribed on the Liberty Bell is a verse from the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 25. Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
So, of course, Greece just voted no on the austerity measures. And, Kathy, there's apparently been a new development. You want to tell us about what's
yes.
going on now?
Yes, they are giving Greece until Thursday to submit new plans for the European Union group to consider. And Angela Merkel, the prime minister of Germany, and several others are saying they are not hopeful. One of the interesting things coming out of the article is that they said, that whatever bailout deal they do come up with in the future, it will be much tougher terms than those they could have been, than those that could have been reached just 2 weeks ago. So the European Union is not playing around with Greece. Greece used their only strategy chip of saying, listen, we're going to vote no to these austerity programs that you're submitting, European Union, and now the ball is in your court. If you don't want to reduce the terms, soften the terms a little bit, soften the austerity terms a little bit, then we will go ahead and take our chances and exit the Eurozone, which would be devastating. Again, it's kind of like, you know, California or Montana just deciding to drop out of the United States. It's devastating, right, for so many reasons. And that was their bargaining chip. Either you come back with softer terms for us to agree with on, or we will prepare to exit. And now it looks like the EU is calling their bluff.
Well, it's being heard loud and clear, that's for sure. But I want to shift to China. Let's shift to China because there's an interesting article from the Australian Financial Review. You'll find this at afr.com. And it talks about China's economy in some scary terms. Here's the headline. China hurtles towards its own version of the 1929 stock market crash and Great Depression. It's got three little dots there for dramatic effect between
to
that
be
and
continued.
Great Depression. Yeah, well, but while all Western, and looking at the article, while all Western eyes remain firmly focused on Greece, a potential much more significant financial crisis is developing on the other side of the world. In some quarters, it's already being called China's 1929, which is the year of the stock market collapse in the United States. In any normal summer, a 30% fall in the Chinese stock market, a loss of roughly equivalent to the UK's entire economic output last year, to put that into perspective. After an ascent which had seen share prices more than double within the space of a year, would have been front page news across the globe. A dramatic series of government interventions to stem the panic, though, hitherto have been unsuccessful. Yet the pantomime of the Greek debt talks, together with the tragic comedy of will they won't leave the euro, has regulated the story to little more than a footnote. Latest intervention was suspension of more than half the stocks listed on Chinese share markets ahead of the opening bell, half of them frozen.
Yeah, that is serious when you have to freeze trading because you cannot stop the hemorrhaging of a particular stock. And on Monday, they had already lost $3 trillion in the stock market. They froze it because they cannot stop the hemorrhaging. They cannot stop the stock from falling, which is very dangerous.
This is all something that we see illustrated in the end times coming up towards scripture. We all see that this economic reset we've been talking about, whether it happens this year or in the future, everyone knows that there has to be a correction. Everyone knows markets around the world are overinflated right now. They're overinflated because interest rates here in the United States, at least in our particular situation, interest rates on bonds, different things like that are so low, people are all getting into the stock market because it's the only thing in which they'll see a return. So the market is overinflated. It's higher than it has ever been in any recent history as far as for the United States. And we all know mathematically there will be a correction. It's just a question of when. And this is all illustrated in Scripture. Famously enough, we just read the Revelation as our scripture of the day before, talking about food prices skyrocketing. You mentioned before, Kathy, how the rich, Scripture talks about how those who have wealth will accumulate more wealth, but those who have a huge separation.
Yeah, you know, and what's even more interesting and dangerous and a little unnerving about China is that every single aspect of China is controlled by a very hard-fisted government. So a lot of the stuff we read and a lot of the stuff we see coming out of China is not the full story because they have a very controlled government, even their media, what news is getting out. The internet is highly controlled. Everything we see is highly controlled. And when I used to be in the stock market, I remember one time they just pressed a reset button and started it all over again. it was crazy. This is like in 2000. It was crazy. We're like, hey, you can't do that. But this is prior to them becoming the global mammoth that they are right now. So they were just kind of getting into it, and everything started going haywire, and they just pressed the restart button, and we're like, you can't do that, right? You have to let it go where it's going to go. And so now we see them trying with their best effort, according apparently, to stop the hemorrhaging. They can't stop the hemorrhaging, and this is really probably outside of their comfort zone for a country that is known for controlling absolutely every single thing. So I don't think we even have the full story. But what is even more dangerous, because we've had, especially been in a stock market environment, I have seen, you know, financial bleeding. I've seen even where the United States have had to stop, freeze our stock market for an extended period of time. So this is not new, what is happening. What makes it more dangerous, however, today is that unlike 1929, we had sovereignty in a lot of different areas of our lives, not only with our country sovereign, but our manufacturing was sovereign, our economy, things like that, right? Today, we are so highly connected as a globe. And like I said before, if China has a sniffle, America catches the flu. A lot of our financing in our country is based on China giving us money, buying our debt. If they're no longer in a financial position to do that, we're quote unquote screwed on a different areas. It's the best word. We are in significant trouble, right? And so it's really dangerous when we see so much upheaval. And that's the thing I try to teach my student. I tried when I talk to other people, just trying to get them to open up their eyes. We cannot continue going on about life as if we are in this little insulated bubble and what happens across the water doesn't impact us. It does. It's coming. And we need to begin to awaken ourselves so that we're not caught off guard.
Isolationism never works. Because we are a global economy.
Oh, so much so today.
And even, yeah, more so today. I know isolation, if we look from a historical perspective, was very popular around the turn of the century. But it's just not, it doesn't work. It never does work because now information travels so much quicker now. But just some statistics to kind of, just for you to chew on a bit. 34%. A third of the debt from the United States is owned by foreign countries. The largest is China at 7.2% of our debt.
They own us. And that's just a portion of the debt. That's not even talking about the money. They have purchased so many of our monumental assets, land and property and different rights into some of our natural resources. So that's just the national debt of them purchasing our bonds, our U.S. treasuries.
Mm-hmm. And Japan is actually the one that's right behind them, interestingly enough. 7%. China's 7.2, but Japan's 7%. That's right up next to it.
Yeah. And now Japan is a part of China. So it's all in all is, you know, roughly 15%. and they provide a significant revenue source for America with those U.S. Treasury bonds. So this is no small matter.
Now, did I miss something? Did Japan all of a sudden have a referendum and decide to get annexed by China or something like that?
Several years ago.
Several years ago. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, that's great
so
to
now
know.
They're no longer on their own. They're part of.
Well, did China?
Hong Kong.
And, of course, China disputing these islands is another issue, too.
Another whole issue, yeah.
And we've got our Navy, which has actually had some issues navigating some seas that once were thought to be in our international waters, but now China is claiming on their own. So as China becomes
China is
more powerful.
No friend of America. And it's just really interesting. Iran is no friend of America. And now, all of a sudden, did you read the report that they... that we're coming up to this nuclear deal, and one of the catalysts for it was that America will have access to survey the facilities, the nuclear warehouses in Iran. And now we've come to the conclusion that's not fair for America to have access to their facilities because we won't give them access to ours.
Oh, my goodness. Shenanigans. I call shenanigans. They're not going to allow us into their facilities. That's a pipe dream. That is a John Kerry pipe dream right there. There's no way they're going to allow us into
their facilities. So, therefore, we should not give them access to the nuclear capacity that they're looking for. But, apparently, that doesn't matter that we're not going to have access. We're just going to give it to them. But they're no friend of ours.
I've never seen a system of thought quite like that one there that is going to let a terrorist nation... Remember, Iran funds terrorist organizations all around the world. We are negotiating with them.
And we're not even requiring that the United States have access to their facilities. They said instead the UN will have access to suspect facilities.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people. Didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country's the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
Hi, I'm Hans Tenbaum with Valley Forge PC Repair. I offer affordable and expert computer repair services. Deal with a locally owned business who cares more about their clients' needs. The services provided include virus removal, repair, cleanups, tune-ups, tutoring, consulting, and other computer services. Most services can be done at a flat rate. Senior citizens mentioned WFIL receive a 10% discount. Call me at 610-462-3210 for more information.
ShopRite of Hatfield is American-owned, locally operated grocer. We support veterans and seniors by giving 5% discounts. Just bring in your ID. Download the ShopRite mobile app to enjoy weekly savings, coupons, recipes, and so much more. ShopRite of Hatfield, 170 40-foot road, open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m.
ShopRite, we're all about food, savings, and you.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. I want to remind you that freedom of speech is not free. Courageous radio stations like this one need your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show. Talk radio is America's immune system, but it needs your support. If you're a business, it makes sense for you to advertise with this station. Here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio forms. Formats would generate. Well, why is that? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the shows that they love. If you're a business and you want to grow, advertise on this station. And if you're a listener, of course, do business with the businesses that advertise in my show and on others on this station.
For more information on how you can advertise your business on News Talk 1180 WFYL, call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, to protect freedom of speech. God bless America.
Well, the headlines are astounding today as we're looking at China going into free fall. This they have been, though, for a little while. Michael Evans here and Kathy Barnett on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL. Welcome to the program. Wonderful to have you with us. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255 to join the conversation. As we continue talking about numerous headlines this morning, we've talked a little bit about this before. I mean, we've got... Where should we go? Because we've got Hillary Clinton talking now about immigration. We talked about that at the beginning. We talked about Greece. We talked about China and the stock market in free fall over there. What else were you talking about this morning, Kathy? You were just mentioning something interesting that you were looking at over there on the other side of the desk this morning.
About what? Immigration?
That must have been it. Yeah, must have been it.
No, I was just saying, when we were talking about immigration in the first hour, we were talking about the number of people who come into this country. And America, you know, one of the common points, I guess, people say, well, you know, we need to be more loving and more kind and we need to help people. So, and that was their rebuttal to millions of illegal Mexican immigrants rushing, bombarding our borders and just coming in illegally. We don't know their names. We don't know where they're going. We don't know where they came from. We don't know if they have any viruses or diseases. We don't know criminal record. We know nothing. These people were just coming in. And not only were they just coming in by their own volition, but they were invited in by our own government to just come in. Obama sent out letters and flyers, and I say Obama because he represents our government. And so a lot of that was going on, and people were coming in. And anyway, we were talking a little bit that America allows over a million people, over a million immigrants to come into our nation. And for some reason, we think because people don't understand economics, even the basics, we have limited resources. And what at some point, the resources become unsustainable to just open up our borders. And so one of my friends, I was talking to her, and she was like, you know, this bleeding heart of compassion for all of these immigrants coming in. We don't know anything. And I said, you know, let me ask you a question, because if it works for you at home, then it will work for the greater economy. I said, you know, I love you. I know you. So I will do a little bit more background search on the people, but send me a copy of your home key. I will go out into the street. I will make sure I do some due diligence on these people, but I'm going to send someone to your home for you to take care of. And I will instruct them that they don't have to work. You're going to provide them with everything that they need, healthcare, food, clothing. In fact, at some point, they can bring over some more family members. And whatever resources they do have, they don't need to pay you. They can send it back home to help them. And of course, I still to this day have not gotten a copy of her house key because it doesn't work. And so, but nonetheless, we say, hey, immigrants, illegal immigrants, come on over and we'll take care of everything. We'll take care of education. We'll take care of your housing. We'll take care of your medical issues. Just come. And it doesn't work.
Well, it won't work because quite effectively we're asking them to break our own laws. How does that logic work? We ask them to be good citizens by coming in and breaking a law. That's something I still can't mentally grasp. Maybe I'm just not I have not gotten to that place of enlightenment yet. I can't wrap my mind around that one, where we have to actually break a law in order to get good law-abiding citizens. We won't even listen to our own laws here. Logic is beyond me, I guess. 610-539-TALK. You can call that number and let your voice be heard. What do you think about this whole immigration debate, especially Hillary Clinton flip-flopping on it? Which, again, we talk about the perspective of politicians here. This all comes down to votes. We have seen more immigration in the past few years than this nation has ever seen in its history. Immigrants are flooding into this nation, and we're just seeing articles like this California tragedy, this woman being shot to death by an illegal immigrant. Now people are even saying it may even be an accident. We will see as the story develops.
So we'll
just
yeah.
say that. But it doesn't matter as far as illegal immigration is concerned. But we don't follow our laws as a nation. And we are reaping the consequences of it because everyone who's supporting this, they are being played. They're being played by these politicians who they are trying to win votes. And I'd say Republicans and Democrats who are supporting this, this all comes down to votes. There are record numbers of immigrants crossing the border, okay, illegally. And they are going to become, because why do you think we're talking about giving them voting rights, giving them the ability mm-hmm. to be able to voice their opinion, to be able to have all the rights as an American citizen? We're losing what it means to be an American citizen. But that's only for one reason. This has nothing to do with charity. This has nothing to do with being good to our neighbors. This has everything to do with votes, plain and simple. We
because
see it from
votes
that perspective.
Equal power.
Right. And we see it from that perspective because we're the people. Yeah. We're citizens. We want to help out our neighbors. We see people who are going through horrible times. We don't necessarily have a direct benefit.
But we cannot be a bleeding heart. You know, I mean, I talk to so many well-meaning people, and, you know, and it's just a big bleeding heart. I mean, and I'm all for emotions and being emotional and being sympathetic, but not to the... But not at the expense of my brain, not at the expense of intellect and wisdom. So I think there's a happy medium of recognizing that the world has some issues, which one should make me feel all the more proud that I'm an American and want to preserve this and pass it on to my children. But not just to open up the floodgates and anybody and their mama can come through the gates and I don't know who they are. It's kind of like me just opening up my front door and whoever wants to walk in can walk in, sit down, go in my refrigerator, look in my wallet, get some money out, go do it. It's food. Foolishness. It doesn't work.
I don't get it. I don't know if you get it or not, the listener, but I don't get it. You know what, though? We're wrapping up the program today, but I'm ready for a little change of pace. Are you ready for it, Kathy? I'm ready for it. It's time for your daily face palm. Well, banana farmer Wang Kaliu bought two puppies while in Vietnam in 2013. This article comes from metro.co.uk and described the dogs as, quote, very lively, not picky about food, and friendly with human beings, according to the article. But then they started behaving strangely. For dogs, that is. They returned home with a butchered chicken. He realized his beloved dogs were actually not dogs at all, but were black bears. I mean, how do you... the article is funny here. It quips a little bit. We're no zoologists, but we would back ourselves to tell the difference between a dog and a black bear.
Yeah, and it took him 2 years, apparently, realize that his beloved dogs were black bears.
That takes a cake for a daily facepalm today, for thinking that you had two little puppies when, in fact, they were animals that could maul you to death. Well, at least you started asking questions when they brought home a butchered chicken. That's at least what I have to say. I contacted the local public security issue and the bears are sent, or bureau, and the bears are sent to a rescue center. So have no fear, all of you are thinking out there, oh, these poor bears who in this man's custody couldn't even tell that they indeed were bears. Don't worry, they'll be fine. But we are happy to present that as our daily facepalm today. That's all the time we have for our program. It's a new day at 1180 WFYL with Mike Levins and Kathy Barnett joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 to 9. More headlines. And remember, in all these things, Jesus Christ is Lord over all. We could always look to Him for peace and rest in our time.
Wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.